Talking about the fascinating area of medicine of cord blood stem cells and storage of, with Dr. O'Connell, Medical Director of MedCells, the distributor of Cells for Life here in the UAE, based at Dubai Healthcare City. A little bit about the company, Dr. O'Connell, with regards to MedCells and Cells for Life. Now, Cells for Life is based in the UK.
Yes. Yep, we're a UK-based storage company. So the job of MedCells is that, yes, we are the official distributors of Cells for Life here in the Middle East. So what we do is that we facilitate the process of the collection. We supply parents with the kit here in the UAE and all around the Middle East. The collection is done here, and then the sample is shipped to the UK, where it's processed and stored under UK and EU law. So we basically facilitate the process for parents out here that wish to collect their sample who are delivering babies here.
And who wants to do this? What parents are requesting this?
Well, every parent, really. Anybody who, you know, many people have heard about stem cell storage through their pregnancy. And, you know, we would recommend that parents would contact us about 2 months before their due date so that they can have an informative meeting. It's a personal decision, you know, that's made by parents. And they have an informative meeting with us. We answer any questions that they may have about cord blood banking, why it's something that they would do. You know, some people have heard the word stem cell, but they have no idea really what it means. So we would go through the entire process with them. We provide the collection kit, which contains all the materials that the doctors need to actually do the collection. Parents bring the collection kit into the hospital with them, and all they've got to do is hand it over to their doctor, and their doctor actually performs the collection. And then we actually, you know, we check the sample, make sure everything is okay, and then we facilitate the shipping of the sample to the UK, where all processing and storage is done then in the UK.
So again, just to explain that you're taking that sample from the umbilical cord, so it's not going to affect or hurt or harm or anything to the baby or to the mother.
Absolutely not. Yeah, the first point of concern is always to mum and baby. And that's one of the advantages with cord blood collection, is that, you know, what the doctors focus on, first of all, is obviously delivering the baby safely and making sure that both mum and baby are okay. And only after that, after the baby is born, after the cord is cut and clamped, then the cord blood is then collected after that. So it doesn't interfere in any way in the normal birth.
And the natural process.
Yeah.
Okay, so the storage then. So the sample has been taken, and MedCells will then it will get sent to the UK to Cells for Life. And then what's the process?
The process then is that the sample is assessed for four different things. One is the number of cells that are within that sample. So when we talk about transplants and the usability of a sample within a transplant, there are different factors that need to be considered. One is the total nucleated cell count, the total number of cells within that cord blood sample, the viability of those cells, the number of those cells that are living and that are alive, and then the volume that was collected. As well as that, we also analyse for the sterility of the sample to test for the presence of any microorganisms that might be present in that sample. All of this is very important information that need to be translated to a transplant centre if the sample was ever needed in a transplant setting. So then in Cells for Life, the sample is then actually stored in two separate locations in the UK, in West Sussex and in Essex, for safety. The sample is split and stored in two separate geographical locations. We also multiply subdivide the sample into between 3 and 6 subdivisions. And what this allows parents in the future, it just gives them flexibility. You know, for instance, if in the future the sample was ever needed for a hematological disorder, for the treatment of a blood disorder, what would normally happen is that they would use the entirety of that sample, because for reconstituting the immune system after a blood disorder, the maximum number of cells would be needed. So possibly the whole entirety of that sample would be used.
Mm.
Yeah. But say, for instance, if we're talking about participating in a clinical trial or in regenerative medicine, then much less cells are needed. So this just gives the parents the flexibility of using the sample a number of times in the future by multiply subdividing it.
Okay. Can these cells be used for somebody else?
Yeah, how that will be determined is by HLA tissue typing. So between siblings, there's a 25% chance that the cord blood stem cells will be an exact genetic match between siblings. So what would have to be done first is a HLA tissue typing test to determine if the sample is a sufficient match to the sibling or to the family member.
And a little bit about Cells for Life. I mean, who created this? I mean, I see it's been going since 2002. Mm-hmm. Would that be kind of in line with other companies in the UK at that time or not?
Yes, yeah. Cells for Life was one of the first companies that was established in the UK. They were established in 2002 by Dr. Jeff Drew, and our chairman is Mr. Wayne Shannon. So Dr. Jeff Drew, their sample was actually the first sample that was stored in the Cells for Life facility in the UK. Dr. Drew, they wanted to establish a cord blood bank that had, you know, certain unique characteristics to it. So the uniqueness about Cells for Life is that we store in two locations, that we subdivide the sample. Because they're doctors, they're medical doctors and medical researchers, they wanted to tailor the storage to optimise the use of the sample in the future and just to give parents more flexibility.
What about with regards to pregnancy? Is there anything that would affect the stem cells that you wouldn't take a sample? You know, what about having a cesarean or anything that you might do during your pregnancy that might affect the stem cells?
Nothing whatsoever. No, the collection procedure during a C-section is exactly the same procedure that will be followed during a normal birth. So like I said, you know, the sample is only collected after the baby is born. So the actual process of the birth, whatever way, either whether it's by C-section or by natural, is not affected by the stem cell collection.
Mm, and if you've had any assistance or a difficult birth, doesn't make any difference?
You know, like I said, the first concern is always to mom and baby. If it is a difficult birth, if there is, you know, any instance where they actually feel that they can't collect the cord blood because they need to focus on the mother and the baby, then they will do that. So that, you know, there is a small chance possibly that you know, concern will go to mom and baby, and you know, the stem cell collection does come second, so the focus is always on the birth. That's one of the advantages with it.
There's a text message here asking why the kit is given to the mother and not to the hospital or the people delivering.
Well, the kit is given to the parents because, you know, basically it is legally your sample. It's the baby's sample. And as parents, you are guardians of that sample until the child legally is an adult, which is when they turn 18. So when, you know, when parents sign up and when they decide that this is something that they would like to do, ultimately, it's their responsibility to bring that kit to the hospital, and it's their responsibility to give it to the doctor, and it's also their responsibility to call us afterwards, and so that we come and that we check the sample. You know, we have a responsibility to provide them with the kit and to provide them with, you know, all of the information and with the service. But because legally, you know, the parents are the guardians of the child, it is we need their consent. They must give us consent that this is something that they would like to do. So that is their responsibility, you know, that they should bring the kit into the hospital with them.
And so just then, there's a text from Heather, I'll get to that in a second, but the so when that sample's taken, if you're the you're responsible for that as the parent, mm-hmm. as you've already explained, but just to clarify, the sample is taken and then it's handed back to you, or they will, or is it just the case that you will then intervene to take that and get it sent to Cells for Life?
What happens is that the sample is collected and it stays with the parents.
Right.
Yeah, so it stays with the parents at all times. Then they will call us, we will come in their presence, we will check the sample. We will just, you know, make sure everything is in there that needs to be in there, check the packaging, fill out the documentation. But the sample remains in the parent's presence at all times. Once we have done that, once we have checked it, we actually still leave it with the parents, and we organise the courier who then comes and collects it from the parents, and then it's shipped to the UK. So it's kept with the parents at all times because it is their property and it's the property of the child.
And what about if you have twins?
Exact same process. You know, every single kit is individually labelled. Every kit is barcoded and is unique. So if there's twins, obviously, you know, the twin, that the first baby that's delivered, the sample is first collected for them, and in the exact same process, exact same procedure. So because every kit is barcoded and is unique, then we can differentiate between the, you know, the first twin, first baby that was born, and then the second baby that was born. So there's still any genetic match to each child.
Heather's asking, I don't have any history in our family, my husband and I, with regard to causes any concern for our baby. So, sorry, system's just gone. Yeah, so, you know, is this something I should be doing when I have, when I give birth? Which I guess is what everybody would be thinking. You know, we said at the beginning of the show, parents becoming more and more interested in this because of, it's almost an insurance for your child as they grow. But really, I mean, you know, I don't know how, you know, what the cost is and how that would affect a decision. But if you haven't got any history of diabetes, or if you're not, you know, cardiovascular disease and the other conditions that are listed that we're going to talk about more of, you know, then why should we bother, really? We don't need to worry about doing this.
Well, you know, really it is a personal choice, and in 1997 the chances that any of us would ever use our own stem cells for the treatment of any disorder was 1 in 2,700. That was back in 1997. In 2008 that dropped to 1 in 400, and that was just based on clinical trials and based on research and progression in what we know and what we've learned about stem cells. In 2009, that then dropped again to 1 in 200. So, you know, the statistics of disease, you know, we know that cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death in the world. And in the case where somebody would have had a heart attack, because the heart muscle, it can't repair itself, you know, that's where a stem cell transplant then would come in. You know, and in the future, where there's 3,000 clinical trials investigating the use of adult stem cells in the treatment of disease, it is expected in the future that the probability that we will use a stem cell transplant from ourselves will drop to 1 in 7. So, you know, it's very much based on how parents can almost look into the future and can see how stem cell research will progress, and that at some stage they could possibly be used for, you know, the treatment of diseases across such a wide spectrum and not just the treatment of a blood disorder.
I got a couple asking about the storage. We'll address that and more in just a moment.